You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, the gang's all here, ready to go. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We'll recap last night's game, Monday Night Football between the Chiefs and the Ravens. Doc Rivers gets fired. Congrats to the Tampa Bay Lightning winning the Stanley Cup. Baseball's playoffs begin today and tonight, four games. Chiefs handled the Ravens 34-20. A little bit later on, we'll dive into the Doc Rivers firing. The great comedian Keegan-Michael Key will stop by coming up next hour. Lewis Riddick, one of the analysts on Monday Night Football, will recap what we saw last night in Baltimore between the Chiefs and the Ravens. You like to get in touch with the program? You can dial us up, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @DPShow. Say good morning to Peacock. That's our TV partner and also our radio affiliates, numbering 362 around the world. You know, we love pairing athletes off against one another. Ollie Frazier, Borg McEnroe, Bird Magic, Brady versus Manning. And sometimes a great athlete doesn't have a direct rival. Michael Jordan did not have a direct rival. We tried to boost some people up to be a direct rival. It didn't happen. LeBron James really hasn't had one either. Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson seem to be headed towards incredible careers. Right now, it appears as if Mahomes is in the LeBron-Jordan territory. That big matchup last night didn't really materialize. Mahomes was brilliant. Jackson struggled. But, you know, a couple things you have to keep in mind. Lamar Jackson's only 23. A lot of the great quarterbacks of all time probably didn't get their careers started till after they were 23. You know, they went to 4 years of college, came out. Not everybody started right away. You know, Tom Brady didn't start right away. Joe Montana didn't start right away. You know, it happens. And Lamar Jackson, last night, he was the other quarterback because Mahomes was brilliant once again. And you think of these two quarterbacks. We thought they were going to match up in last year's postseason. Didn't happen. But nothing creates a rivalry like a big moment, like the postseason. And they seem to be destined to meet again, even if Mahomes looks like he's well ahead right now. Jackson might get a shot at redemption in the playoffs in just a couple of months. And a couple of things stood out yesterday. Baltimore is so good when they get ahead. They're a great front runner. But Kansas City, if you don't get out on top of them early, then you're in trouble. And you saw that. You know, if you go down and you kick a field goal and then Kansas City comes down and scores a touchdown, then you're off to the races. Because you play behind with Kansas City, you play right into their hands. And Mahomes last night was wonderful. You know, when you're throwing for three touchdowns, you're running for a touchdown. He has not lost a game in September in his career. He's not thrown an interception in September in his career. 32 touchdowns, zero interceptions. He's 10-0 in the month of September. And here is Mahomes talking after the game. He had, you know, touchdown passes in a variety of ways. You know, it could be a long touchdown. It could be an underhand touchdown. It could be a tackle-eligible touchdown. But here's Patrick Mahomes after last night's win.
The first one, the Sherm, we'd actually had ran it my first year starting against the Patriots, and they had accidentally covered it because the guy was just following the ball. And so we kind of been hanging on to that one, trying to find the right opportunity. And I thought Coach Reed did a great job of calling it there on that down and distance and to get that touchdown.
And that's another thing to keep in mind. You have an offensive-minded head coach in Andy Reid. Eric Bieniemy is the offensive coordinator. You've added weapons. The offense got better. And I think the defense has improved as well. Now, it's a long season. We know injuries are part of this. Baltimore will come back. You know, but they're not, I mean, they're fallible. If you look at this, if you're not going to throw for over 100 yards, you're not going to beat Kansas City. Just not going to happen. And that defense is supposed to be formidable. And they blitzed Patrick Mahomes. And I always go back to a conversation I had with Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner playing on the greatest show on turf team with the Rams. And I said, hey, you seem comfortable when you're being blitzed. He said, I love when I was being blitzed because I knew somebody was open. Baltimore went after him. They put pressure on him. But it's almost as if he knew it was coming, embraced that it was coming, and then took advantage of that. But Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, when they get behind, then they're in trouble. And they didn't get behind very often last year. When you have that sustainable drive and you take, you know, the pride from somebody, the air out of their sails, you go 80 yards. They did that last year. they had a number of drives to start games where they'd score a touchdown. And that was the big difference there. And I go back to the Super Bowl. You know, the 49ers thought that they were being able, they could put pressure on Mahomes. They didn't have to blitz anybody. And for three quarters, they put pressure on Mahomes, and he didn't play well at all. And then all of a sudden, you start to blitz, and then you're in trouble because Mahomes will eventually beat you. And that came to mind last night. If you can send four guys, you got a chance against him. But I don't know how many teams have a front four that's that strong to be able to do that. You know, maybe the Steelers could do that. But it's going to be rare to find that team to put pressure on them. And it almost feels like Kansas City will have to beat itself. When Mahomes was blitzed last night, 17-20, 240 yards, three touchdowns, and a quarterback rating of 156. It's about as good as it's going to get. And if that's where you go, we're trying everything we can possibly do, and we have no answers. Here is John Harbaugh, the Ravens quarterback, on the Ravens being a better team.
Well, obviously, we haven't beaten them. So, you know, they've outplayed us in all three games, if you want to go back for 3 years. So, but we didn't play well today. They beat us. They out-executed us. They out-game-planned us. They just beat us. So that's the story tonight. Big picture stuff, all that, I don't know. They're better, obviously. They're a better football team at this point in time. So you win or you learn, and we have a lot to learn from this game right here.
If you were with us yesterday at this time, Ross Tucker, a former NFL lineman.
Oh, no.
He covers the sport. And he sounded pretty sure. He was pretty sure that the Ravens were going to win this game and win this game comfortably. And here's the short version of his prediction on last night's game.
I really believe the Ravens run the ball down the Chiefs' throat tonight. I think they get after Patrick Mahomes. I think the Ravens have a great chance to win this game by double digits.
Okay. Now, he sounded confident, and I always look at it as for entertainment purposes only. Because here was the other thing. Now, I'm always curious, and having bet for so long, you can kind of feel what a line is going to be. What's the point spread going to be? And, you know, was it going to be 3.5 or 4 points last night? And then I said to Paulie, what's the over-under? And he goes, I start out at 52 on Sunday. It's up to 54. I go, 54. And then it went up to 54.5. So I'm thinking, people got to be jumping on this to do the over. And I always go the other way when I know, so, hey, everybody believes this. And then you start to go, How many points were scored last night, Paulie?
54.
Vegas did very well last night because most of the money was on the over.
According to a couple different sports books, at least 80% of the money that came in when it was at 54.5 was for the over.
Oh, that's painful. Painful. That's for entertainment purposes only, of course. Yes, Paulie.
Dan, we have a special guest calling into the Dan Patrick Show. Ravens backer, Mr. Monday Night Football in Westwood One, Ross Tucker.
Yes, yes, Ross. Ross, good morning.
Hey, Dan, first-time caller. I'm 6'5", 250.
I need to
come make amends. I went on my first appearance on Peacock yesterday. I kind of cocked off and said the Ravens would win by double digits. I don't know if you watched last night, Dan. Not exactly what happened.
Well, once again, let's play Ross's prediction, the short version.
I really believe the Ravens run the ball down the Chiefs' throat tonight. I think they get after Patrick Mahomes. I think the Ravens have a great chance to win this game by double digits.
Yeah. And I believed you, Ross.
I believe me too. That's the problem. I mean, this is why I get paid the big bucks. You know what? It is amazing, though, and it's one of the things I love about the sport. You watch those first two games. The Chiefs' run defense was terrible, and the Ravens were obviously running at will. And then Patrick Mahomes was under duress against the Chargers. I mean, he really struggled under their pressure, and the Ravens had just beaten the crap out of Baker Mayfield and Deshaun Watson. So I still feel real good about it. And then you watched the game last night, and I was very frustrated with the Ravens going away from the run as early and as often as they did. I mean, that first drive, They have 60 yards rushing on six runs, 10 yards a carry, and then second and three from like the 12-yard line, third and three, they throw it both times, settle for a field goal. And then what Patrick Mahomes did on third down last night, I mean, he was 10 of 12 for the third downs that really mattered in the context of the game. And I think they were all third and five or more, Dan. I mean, I don't know if people realize what we're watching right now. The Ravens have a good defense, and Mahomes was 10 of 12 on third and five or more. I mean, he is unbelievable. I think I had tweeted at Ross Tucker NFL. By the way, DP show is getting a lot of love on Old Takes Exposed since I said that on your show yesterday. So you're getting the Old Takes Exposed crowd. But, yeah, man, I mean, look, I said I think the Ravens win by double digits unless Patrick Mahomes makes me look silly. And Patrick Mahomes did, in fact, make me look silly.
Ross, we appreciate you coming in with your head held low, tail between your legs. Very honorable on your part. We appreciate it, as always.
My pleasure. And I called in rather than Zoom because I don't need to have Paulie making fun of my head size anymore while my mom's watching. So thank you.
Thank you, Ross. That's Ross Tucker. Ross Tucker podcast. And also he's a Westwood One analyst. Yes, Paulie.
My sources say his mom has a perfectly normal size head. The dad has a big head. And that's where he got it from.
You start watching a game and then you always think of, you know, somebody making a prediction or somebody sounding so confident. And then you wonder what they're doing while they're watching Mahomes throw all these touchdown passes. This program is brought to you by Home Depot, giving a call out to all you pros who are working hard every day. They've got delivery options to get you what you need exactly where you need it, so you can keep doing what you do to get the job done. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Come up with a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day as well. Lewis Riddick, who was on the call last night. Lewis Riddick got verbally spanked by Patrick Mahomes' mom because Lewis was calling Patrick Mahomes Pat Mahomes last night. And then his mom says, you know, I wish this announcer would stop on Twitter calling him Pat because her husband is Pat Mahomes, the former baseball pitcher. He's Patrick Mahomes. So he's not a junior, he's the second. But he doesn't go by the second, even though it's on his jersey. But Patrick Mahomes. So Lewis Riddick will join us coming up. The big news out of Los Angeles, Doc Rivers was fired. And the question is, why? Why now? Do you have a coach in place? Do you have Ty Lue as the heir apparent? Will he be the successor since he's on the bench with Doc Rivers? Doc Rivers is going to get another job. Does Kawhi Leonard, co-sign on this? Because if you want to keep Kawhi Leonard and Paul George after this season, I'm going to assume that they would want to know who their coach is going to be or have a say in that, a la Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving with Steve Nash in Brooklyn. But that's what came to mind immediately was I wasn't surprised that Doc got fired. And I think out of respect, Steve Ballmer, the owner, was going to wait a little while, probably wanted to, you know, take inventory there, talk to everybody. And then you got to be fair to Doc Rivers, who everybody loves. It's just the resume has not been outstanding. And now who are you bringing in? Can you bring in somebody that we probably didn't think of? Chris Mannix tweeted out, do you, you know, make a run at Phil Jackson? Phil's 75. And if you're Phil, Steve Ballmer says, what's it going to cost? Do you go to the Clippers? Can he do it physically would be my first question. Because I don't know if Phil physically would be able to coach an entire season. And how much of a difference would he make? Is that the kind of lineup that he wants? Do you do the triangle with? And I know maybe this is pie in the sky, but Mannix tweeted this out. I think Ty Lue is probably your coach there. And, you know, he's handled star players when he was with LeBron in Cleveland, winning a title there. He's already in-house, so I would think Ty Lue. And then Doc Rivers, you know, does he get New Orleans? Does he get Philadelphia? Does he get Indiana? There are possibilities out there for him. Yeah, Seton.
I just want to make one slight correction. Doc Rivers wasn't fired by the Clippers. They parted ways.
Oh, that's right. Now, how does that work again,
they've
Paulie? So
consciously uncoupled.
Yeah, so it's the Gwyneth Paltrow way of saying goodbye.
We're consciously uncoupling.
So if I walk in and I'm Steve Ballmer and Paulie is Doc Rivers, and I say, hey, Doc, how are you? Hey, I'm going to let you go.
I quit.
Now, did we do that? That was a mutual uncoupling.
Almost
there?
Exact timing.
Yeah. So then, once again, you walk in and I go, "Hey, Doc, how are you? I'm going to have
gone.
To get rid of
I gotta
you.
Get out
I'm
going
to have to get rid of you.
And I'm gone.
Yeah, I'm going to fire you."
Hey,
yeah.
I don't think this is working. So agree. So agree. Not working.
Yes, Todd.
Was it a mystery early on whether he was fired or whether they parted ways together? Because the initial reports all kept using the phrase "he's out" as head coach, and no one wanted to like dive in further and explain whether he stepped down or he was shown the door.
I don't know if anybody wanted to say Doc Rivers got fired. I think that's what it came down to. Like, that sounds so like a guillotine. Like, yeah, we decided, you know what? Maybe we just we're going to go in a different direction, separate directions. He got fired. Yeah, Paul.
And in our industry, you always see looking forward to other challenges. He's like when someone leaves a entity, he's looking forward to other challenges.
Yeah,
you got fired.
McLevin, what kind of poll question are we looking at?
Okay, Paulie suggested this. Are you off the Ravens bandwagon?
Wow.
And my side poll question, are we going crazy overreacting to just a week 3 game? Everyone on Twitter is like, oh, the Ravens just lost the Super Bowl to the Chiefs.
Well, I think there is that feeling of, is anybody going to be able to stand up to the Chiefs? And if anybody, it's anybody, it'll be the Ravens. It feels like those are the two best teams in the NFL, not just the AFC. And we don't like a foregone conclusion, certainly not in football, where you want that process to play out. You don't want to go, yeah, they're going to win. Yeah, nobody's going to stop the Chiefs. That is that feeling today. But I have the Ravens winning the Super Bowl, so I'm not going to abandon ship. Yes, Paul?
I took a look around the internet, and there's different sites where you could see where different experts and betting people and commentators picked for the Super Bowl. And I'm trying to do the math here. More people picked the Ravens to make it to the Super Bowl than picked the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Based off the picks I see.
Yeah.
I wonder if those people would want to do over today on their pick.
Well, I think when you look at Kansas City and realize that their offense is actually better, even though they lost one of their starting offensive linemen who opted out to work in the pandemic, the defense feels a little better. And that was always my big concern. Could they stop somebody when they needed to stop somebody? And that's what happened. You won a Super Bowl. They needed to stop the Niners. They stopped the Niners. They won a Super Bowl. Yeah, McLevin.
But this game was 27-20 in the fourth quarter, and there was like a key drop by the Ravens. Like, this was really close at a certain point.
Did it feel that way?
Well, it felt in the second half that the Chiefs don't feel like they like being ahead. They feel like they were like, let's do some weird stuff and let Baltimore into this game. I had that slight feeling. Then Mahomes was on.
I thought it was closer than it should have been, because it felt like Kansas City was in control. And Baltimore, I don't think they did anything really well last night. Yeah, McLevin.
Well, Lamar ran well. He had 9 carries for 83 yards. Yeah. They can't stop him at all.
Yeah. But he doesn't know how to scramble. He knows how to run. When he faces pressure, he doesn't step up in the pocket. Like, he backs up. And he got caught a couple times last night. Yeah, Paul.
One single bettor at the MGM in Vegas, according to my guy, said a single bettor had $95,000 on the over at 54.5. You can buy down the over-under. You could buy points.
Yeah. And
did not do that. $95,000 on the over.
And that's one of those that just saying, hey, take it. Hey, the over. Of course they're going to score a lot of points. And then if Butker misses an extra point, the Ravens were down at the goal line and then lost like 20 yards on a play and then went for it, didn't even kick a field. Oh, man. See, this is why I don't gamble. Yes, Todd.
One of those bad beats if you didn't see that 54.5 coming.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
That sounds like a segment.
Oh, bad beats?
Bad beats.
So we take people who lost or games that didn't cover.
Yeah. Is anybody doing that?
I think I saw something late at night on one of those sports channels.
Yeah, but if it's late at night and we're doing this in the morning, then they'll never know.
You miss it.
Steal
you miss it.
AM, PM. It's different.
Yeah. Yeah. We should be able to do it. All right, let me take a break. Lewis Riddick will join us. And I got a question for you. Just let you think about this as we go into commercial break. What's a better sports city? New York or Tampa? Now, I never thought I would say that. But I can say that today. And I know the answer. It's obvious. 20 after the hour. We'll get to phone calls coming up. Settle on a poll question. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Last week is in the books. We got a game on Thursday. DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. No better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy. All you do is draft your lineup. You know, you're able to stay under the salary cap, and then you can feel that sweat like never before. Every run, every pass, every catch means more with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app now and use the code SQUAD. And for a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on Week 4's action. The code is SQUAD to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes for your first deposit. It's the Broncos and the Jets coming up on Thursday night, and the Broncos are trying to find themselves a quarterback. The promo code, once again, is SQUAD, only at DraftKings. You can make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Good luck. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Play of the day coming up. The great actor-comedian Keegan-Michael Key will stop by next hour. Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated on the firing of Doc Rivers, where Doc will end up. Is there a chance that they could bring in Phil Jackson? I mentioned this. Better sports city, New York City, or Tampa? Now, I'm just saying currently, because you got some New York teams that are competing for a title. The Islanders were good this year. The Yankees. The Nets now with Steve Nash and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. But then Mets, Jets, Giants, Knicks, Rangers, not so much. Look at Tampa. Lightning won. I got the Tampa Bay Rays going to the World Series to face the Dodgers. And, of course, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Yes, Todd.
And they're hosting the Super Bowl on top of all that.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
All right, we'll get to phone calls coming up. We'll settle on our poll question. He is Lewis Riddick, the ESPN Monday Night Football analyst. Although, Lewis, I think I got to call you Lou since you were calling Patrick Mahomes Pat last night.
Yeah, man. His mom kind of said it straight, didn't she?
Oh, that was funny.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I was on a roll too, man. I love Patrick's game in so many different ways, man. I was just like, Pat this, Pat that, Pat. Like, you know, I was like, oh boy, all right. But no, it was fun. She was a great sport. It was cool though. But I got the memo. That's for sure.
As a former defensive back, when you look at Mahomes, like how would you play him? Like what is it you see that you would try to defend?
Man, it's a problem, man. It's a problem. I think number one, from a pure defensive back standpoint, with the receivers he has, you have to slow them down at the line of scrimmage. You have to disrupt them as much as possible and make Pat have to hold the ball, and therefore give your defensive line time to get to him and make him uncomfortable. Just like the Patriots did in the AFC Championship game a couple of years ago. I mean, they absolutely got up on the line of scrimmage and beat those guys up as much as they could, and then Bill had a bunch of different rush schemes to get after Pat and made him uncomfortable. Now, he was young then.
Wait, Lewis, you're calling him Pat.
Yeah, I know. See, there I go again. Patrick, okay. You have to do that to him. You have to slow down his receivers and then get after him on the rush. If you don't do that, and Patrick is able to stand in the pocket uncontested, and his guys, who are all just speed burners, are able to get up on your secondary players just like that, he's going to cut you apart just like he did last night. I mean, here's the thing with Patrick now. He's taken his game from one level to the next because now, in his mind, he is able to decipher what you're doing much, much faster. And he admitted just a couple of years ago, just last year, he was still pretty green as far as trying to figure out what you were doing. He was just reacting, you know, on God-given ability, which is scary. Now he's starting to get the answers to the test before they even snap the ball. And once he does that, as Steve Young says, it just becomes unfair. And that's what it looks unfair right now.
Yeah, I've mentioned this a couple times on the show. When Aaron Rodgers is playing at his peak, I don't think there's a quarterback who's made the game look easier than when Aaron Rodgers is playing at that high of a level. But Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson are creeping into that conversation. Is there a quarterback you went against that you just said he's making it look a lot easier than what it really is?
Yeah, I mean, look, when we played against, you know, guys like Marino, and I mean, I played against those. I mean, I played against John Elway in 98 when they were just humming right along with Terrell Davis and Shannon Sharp and Rod Smith. And John made it look so simple because he knew what you were doing before you actually got to do what you were getting ready to do. And when you still have, you know, that cannon of an arm and you can put the ball wherever you want, I mean, it's just, it's tough. The only difference is back then, obviously, the intimidation factor was still a big part of defensive play in terms of how you can enforce the middle of the field and hit people. And you know, the quarterbacks were protected, but it's not like it is now. Pass interference was still called, but it's not like it is now. So you still had some tools, you know, in your toolkit to deal with guys like that. But see, now, I mean, there's a reason, Dan. I mean, you see, I mean, there's a reason why the numbers as far as yards per attempt, yards per season, touchdown passes are going up. And on when you have a guy like Patrick and you have a guy, you know, guys like Aaron and Russell, you know, who are really taking their game to a whole new level from a mental standpoint, when you have those kind of guys combined with their physical skills and then the rules the way they are, it just puts defenses in such a bad spot, man. I mean, if you're a premium defensive player right now, meaning you're the kind of guy who truly can come up with the PBUs and interceptions and make plays on the ball on a consistent basis, I would say that you probably deserve even more credit now than you would have back in my era in the 90s, because it's impossible to play high-quality defense on a consistent basis.
He's Lewis Riddick, ESPN Monday Night Football analyst. They've got Falcons at Lambeau against the Packers next Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Was last night's game more about Kansas City or more about Baltimore, in your opinion?
It's a little bit of both. It really is. Look, I think with Kansas City, they knew that, look, they have a lot of continuity on their coaching staff, a lot of continuity on their team. All the key players are back. And with Patrick leading the charge, I mean, you know that they're going to come out of the gates fast, and you expected them to have a good performance. I think with Baltimore, they expected to play much better. So on the downside, it's about them in the sense of, is this just a blip on the radar as far as when you're just kind of really focusing in on Lamar Jackson and his development, or are they not as far along? Is he not as far along as maybe people thought after the first 2 weeks and after the season he put together last year? We're going to see. He's going to just have to go back into the lab, so to speak, and figure out why was it that they couldn't get that passing game on track, and why he couldn't hit some of those deep shots that they were trying to call on the outside, because they were there. He just missed a few of them. And he has to hit those in order for this offense to get much better and for them to be able to score 21, 28, you know, 35 points in win shootouts like they would have had the one win last night in order for them to get to where they want to get to. And then on the flip side, too, look, their defense was exposed a little bit last night. It may be a one-off because Patrick is going to expose a lot of people like that. But we'll see. See, I mean, I'm distressed. That whole Patrick thing.
You know what you do? You just call him Mahomes.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? But, you know, I like the young man so much. I mean, he really is. And I say this, you know, not to distract from the guy. I mean, I'll call him Patrick. I'll get it right. But he truly is, Dan. He truly is. He is a one-of-a-kind individual. And I'm tight with a lot of those guys down there in Kansas City. They have hit a home run in ways in which I don't think they ever could have imagined.
They got a bargain.
Did they? I mean, you know, what he did, the way he made it look last night, it's like he was just, playing, I mean, literally just playing a kid's game and having fun with it. It's ridiculous when it looks that easy. It really is.
And it takes me back to when I saw him at Texas Tech, and I had no idea. I'm not one of those guys who said, yep, I could see the greatness there.
Right.
I just remember coming in on a Monday and telling my guys, I said, you got to watch him. He's playing in the backyard and like pointing, like you go over there and you go over there, and he's putting up 40 points and a half against Oklahoma State. He wasn't winning. And I, you know, then I read all the draft reports and they're like, oh, too much of a gunslinger, you know, risk taker, like all of these things. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't help but think every time I watch him play, Lewis, I think of the Chicago Bears. Like, what if the Bears had drafted Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, they're thinking the same thing. And you know they are. Yeah. I mean, everyone's doing that to themselves. But I think it's the perfect marriage between he and Coach Reed and Coach Bieniemy, and the fact that they had Alex Smith there that could really help Patrick kind of get himself into a nice groove from a preparation standpoint on and off the field. He's naturally a good individual anyway, so he has that foundation and base as far as, you know, conducting himself like a professional. But they brought him along the right way. Brett Veach, the GM, really, you know, surrounded him with good players. They taught him the right way. And then they just kind of turned him loose. And him and Andy just have that nice rapport. And Eric Bieniemy and Mike Kafka, the quarterback coach. And it's just, the situation is so good for him. And he is so good for the situation. I mean, when you hit on things like that, I mean, that can just absolutely solidify your career as a coach, as a GM, as a quarterback coach. I mean, that rising tide is going to lift so many people down there, and rightfully so. It's a beautiful thing to see, because we've seen it happen on the flip side where situations are just bad, man, and they just ruin players and ruin coaches and ruin people's reputations because they can't hit it on the head the way they need to as far as striking that balance. So the people in Kansas City, enjoy it, man. Enjoy it. You've got a great situation.
I'll leave you with this. You had the Saints in Las Vegas last week. When you start to – like, when can you tell a quarterback has a tired arm or just doesn't have – not maybe doesn't have it or not willing to, you know, throw the ball 20 yards downfield, as we're now people starting to critique Drew Brees?
Yeah, I think it's when they start to lose that – I don't want to say courage, because all guys are courageous, really. I mean, to get to this level and be as good as Drew is. But when they start to really choke it down and just want to get the ball out of their hand and not stand in there and maybe take that extra shot, either because, one, they don't want to take those hits anymore, or two, they just don't have the same horsepower in their arm, that's when you start to get the idea in your head that maybe they're not just quite the same anymore. They're not willing to take that risk, either because they're scared to, because they don't think they can get it there, or they don't want to like risk taking those hits in the pocket anymore. And I know it's early in the season with Drew, and look, he's one of the greatest of all time, so you don't want to jump the gun. But when you start seeing those things happen, and if they start happening on a repetitive basis, you're going to start asking those questions more and more and more. You have to give him the benefit of the doubt. You have to give Sean Payton the benefit of the doubt, because they've been so good for so long. And remember, Michael Thomas isn't playing. So let's just see how this plays out. But the signs are starting to show up. And look, it's inevitable. It's going to happen to everyone. You just hope it's not so abrupt like it seems to be at this point in time, with how, you know, he's struggling a little bit. But, you know, he's one of the ultimate pros. I'm sure he'll have an answer for this in due time.
Good to talk to you. Once again, congratulations on the gig there. We're talking to Lewis Riddick, ESPN Monday Night Football analyst. Packers and the Falcons next Monday night from Lambeau. Lewis, thanks for getting up with us.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Dan.
That's Lewis. Don't call him Lou Riddick. Yeah, he got into that habit of calling Patrick Mahomes Pat. And his mom reached out. And his dad is Pat Mahomes, former baseball player. Seton knows all about this.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Painful.
I hate being called Pat.
Yeah.
I really do.
Because your real first name is Patrick.
Right.
And your middle name is Seton.
Right. And now I'll introduce myself. I find this a lot now where I'll introduce myself and I'll say, hi, I'm Patrick. And they'll say, hey, Pat. How do you correct somebody you just met 10 seconds ago? I'd be like, no, no, no. I introduced myself as Patrick. If I wanted you to call me Pat, I would have said, hi, I'm Pat.
Well, why don't you just say, hi, I'm Seton?
God, because that's even worse. I'm sorry, what?
Then you have to explain.
Right, yeah.
Why
I got to go through the whole story.
Seton. And yeah. I'm like, yeah. Seton Hall. Oh, you went to Seton Hall. No, I didn't get in at Seton Hall.
No, I didn't, but my dad did. Oh, that's fun. Yeah, no, these big jokers are always, I'm lucky he didn't go to Slippery Rock. It still crushes. It still crushes. It's a good joke. So,
what's the other one? Skidmore?
That would be unfortunate.
That would have been bad. Yeah, Paul.
Patrick, is anyone allowed to call you Pat? Does anyone call you Pat?
Oh, yeah. For most of my family calls me Pat.
Do they know you don't like it and they don't care?
They do now. You know what, though? Like, to be fair to them, the first 22 years of my life, everyone called me Pat. And then once I moved from New Jersey to Connecticut, somehow I became Patrick. And I don't know, maybe it's just like being an adult or something. I don't know. But yeah, I prefer Patrick.
It's like when your wife says Patrick, it always, I stop and I'm like, because I'm not used to hearing that. She go, Patrick? And
yeah,
it's not like you did something wrong. It's just she'll just say Patrick, asking you a question, and it always goes, oh, that's right.
I could always tell that she's getting sick of me, though, like, because I could be a handful, as you guys know. And I could always tell she's getting sick of me, though, because I just hear, Patrick. And like, that's what I'm going, one too many jokes. I'm going in a little too, Patrick.
Play of the day is up next. We'll get to your phone calls as well. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play is called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
Check this out.
Right point, Klingberg shoots. Blocked! It's out of the zone! Into the neutral zone! 8 seconds left! Barkley Goodrow after it! Shoots wide right of the open net. Time ticks down! The Lightning with the Stanley Cup! They have reached the top of the mountain! They are the Stanley Cup champs!
Wow. That's all I can say is wow.
That's courtesy of 970 WFLA Lightning Radio Network. Tampa Bay Lightning capturing the franchise's second Stanley Cup. And the last one came in 2004. They spent 80 days in the bubble, becoming the first of the four major North American professional sports leagues to crown a champ during the pandemic. Play of the day brought to you by the Home Depot, giving a shout out to all you pros that are working hard every day. They've got delivery options to get you what you need. And they do it so you can get the job done. Keep doing what you do, whatever it takes. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. McLovin, poll question, you're going to settle on one? It was weird to watch that call last night with Doc Emmerich, and there's no fans, but it had all the presentations of, hey, this is a celebration, you just won a title. I mean, Gary Bettman didn't get booed last. I thought they were going to pipe in booing sounds for the commissioner. Every time he brings the Stanley Cup out, he gets booed. But the players were celebrating, but, you know, it lacked a little bit of that ambiance that we're so used to when you have teams winning a championship. So what's poll question, McLovin?
So I put it for hour one. Are you jumping off the Ravens bandwagon? 58% say no, which is reasonable because it is week three.
Yeah. Yeah. But it comes down to, you know, can they come from behind to win a game? And can Lamar Jackson put up a big performance in the postseason? Those are going to be the questions, you know, this entire regular season is, once we get to the postseason, if they fall behind, can they come back and win? And how does Lamar Jackson do in a big moment? You know, this is also on that Ravens defense that I thought was one of the elite defenses. Kansas City made it look like it was pedestrian there at times. Yeah, McLovin.
A couple other options. Because I feel like maybe we're overreacting even more than usual this year. Maybe it's the pandemic, but people are assuming that Russell Wilson is going to throw 75 touchdowns and no picks. So which QB is most likely to come back down to earth a little bit? Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, or Josh Allen?
Well, I would probably do Josh Allen because he doesn't have a track record there.
Right.
You know, Seattle's got a real problem here with their defense. They've given up 1,200 passing yards, I believe, through the first three games. Something, I think it's the most passing yards a team has ever given up to start a season. I don't know how you get better, but, you know, even with Jamal Adams in there, but they're going to be in shootouts this year. And therefore, Patrick, why do I keep saying Patrick? Russell Wilson Jr. III is going to have to put up big numbers this year, and that'll help him when it comes to the MVP race. Aaron Rodgers, it feels like, has kind of found his groove a little bit here. You know, it feels like there's a good rhythm there, and maybe he's buying into the game plan there. Mahomes is going to be Mahomes. Lamar Jackson, you know, we expect him to put up big numbers as well. Yeah, Paul.
Rodgers may not have monster numbers as far as touchdowns and yards because he doesn't throw the ball a ton. He doesn't throw the ball 40 times. They're leaning towards running if they can, especially in that division where the other three teams aren't that good. He's not even top 10 in the league in attempts.
But I think this makes him so much more dangerous when you have that true running game. He's got a great running back there. And he doesn't throw interceptions, doesn't make bad decisions. And if I think he's more patient and realizes this kind of offense is a little more balanced and tougher to defend. Because if one thing isn't working, the other thing could be working. And when they work in unison, that's, you know, when you're winning games, you're going undefeated through the first 3 weeks of the season. Couple of phone calls in here. Oh, look who's here to take a victory lap. Ted in Tampa. Ted, congratulations. Welcome back.
Hey, I'm calling from the top of the mountain. Tampa or New York, are you kidding? Would you rather have the Stanley Cup winning Bolts or the Islanders? Would you rather have Tampa Bay or a combined team of the Jets and the Giants? Would you rather have Plant High School or the Knicks?
Thank you, Ted. Thank you. Congratulations there. Yeah, you got the Tampa Bay Rays. And, you know, I'm taking Tampa over the Yankees. It's the season of Tampa, I think. Yes, McLove.
That's a good poll. Would you rather have no team or the Knicks?
No, not having a team, your heart's never broken. You're not frustrated. You just don't have one. Like the Knicks fans, oh, it's been 2 decades since irrelevance.
Yeah. Well, they're relevant with their how bad they are. Like they're in the conversation because we're always talking about how they screw things up. I mean they're relevant for all the wrong reasons there. Kyle in California. Hey Kyle, what's on your mind today?
Hey DP.
Hey bud.
First off with the Clippers and Doc, you know, that's just that place, they need an exorcism over there. I don't know. Maybe they did a little rebranding, maybe they should get rid of the Clippers altogether. And yeah, I'm glad you're having Mannix on. You can ask him about when he said he must be shocked the Lakers are even here. Ask him if they're going to get swept. I think he said, unprovoked, the Lakers more likely to miss the playoffs than win the championship. Unprovoked. That's unbelievable. He said that.
Thank you, Kyle. Yes, he did. And I remember asking him that question. I was like, wow, we're recording that. Jesse in Los Angeles. Hey, Jess, what do you have for me today?
Hey, good morning, DP.
Morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
Hey, I had a comment and a question for you first on Doc Rivers getting let go. Hey, Paul George, if you didn't realize it was championship or bust this year, tell that to your now unemployed ex-coach.
Yeah.
And then on to Ross Tucker, his comment from yesterday, I'm wondering, is that now as infamous as Chris Mannix's Spanish stat quote?
Well, no, I think Mannix will always, that Spanish stat quote, just because it was like, wow. Who says Spain is stacked? Mannix does. And playoff Paul should realize that the stakes were extremely high this year. Maybe he realizes now with the Clippers that this wasn't sort of that introductory offer to the playoffs and, hey, we'll get them next year.
I think, first of all, Spain is stacked. I mean, they're a team with...
Poor Mannix. He'll join us in the final hour. Keegan-Michael Key, the actor-comedian. Key and Peele, he'll join us coming up this next hour. And the Broncos narrow down an unbelievably sad quarterback decision. We'll have that for you coming up as well. You can dial us up, email, tweet. Seton Pauley, Fritzy McLovin, yours truly. This is the Dan Patrick Show.